Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is Dr. Ali Benazir, aka Dr. Alex, with another edition of the Tao of Dating podcast. Another fabulous letter from one of our readers. Hi, Dr. Alex. I am new to this goddess thing after 5 unsuccessful years of New York City dating, and I'm trying to take your lessons to heart. I am very motivated by your overall philosophy. Putting it into practice is the hard part. Thank you for all your advice. My question is about giving an ex, or a guy you dated who never really became your official ex, a second chance. I had a whirlwind romance with a guy I met on Match.com last summer, one hot, intense month where we thought we'd found everything we ever wanted, only to end in a dramatic, messy, too much too soon sort of fight. In hindsight, we both messed it up big time. I cried for months. Since then, he has reached out to me intermittently over the months. A text here, an email there. Usually he asks how I am and gets flirty right away. I have been very reluctant to dip my toes back into this and have usually responded with some reticence. However, we finally spoke by phone and agreed that it was worth a drink date to see what went wrong and whether it could be fixed. That was in November. After that, weeks went by. He never set up the drink date, and I started dating someone else, and stupidly reached out to tell him that it was best if we didn't go to drinks after all. Which he responded angrily that he had been busy and something to the effect that I was pressuring him. Fast forward to last week, now April, after months, when he saw me get back on Match.com, reached out and immediately said, drink some time to say hi? I said, sure, we flirted, I had hope. And now weeks have gone by again without him reaching out to make a plan. I sent one flirty email in the meantime, again, immediate flirty response, but otherwise, no invitation. I want to know a few things. One, does the relationship gone sour have little hope of rekindling, and should I just walk away from this one so as to ensure that the awful pain of it doesn't resurface if and when we finally do meet? And two, is this guy really interested in seeing me again, and if he were, why wouldn't he make sure to make a plan to see me months and months ago? Then again, why continue to reach out at all if he doesn't still think there's a chance for us? Is he just reluctant because of the mess it turned into last time, but still curious/hopeful himself? He's still on Match.com, for Pete's sake. I really need to avoid making the situation any messier for my own heart and for my own dignity. I would very much appreciate your thoughts. Jennifer. Now, this is one of the best letters I've ever gotten, and that is because it opens up so many cans of worms at the same time. It's almost like there's an octopus out there, and on each tentacle it's got an electric can opener, and it's opening up a can of worms with each one, and then the worms get out of the cans, they crawl over the counter, up there all over the place, you try to get them with a cleaver, you split them in two, but then one worm becomes two, even bigger mess, you get the picture. So, yeah, the letter actually contains two of the top three questions I get from women. Number one, how do I get him? Number two, how do I get him back? And number three, what's he thinking? So this one has how do I get him back and what he's thinking. So let's address what he's thinking first. And the answer to the question, what is he thinking, is always, who gives a flying fuck what he's thinking? What really matters is how you feel. Okay, so Jennifer, it sounds to me like you're being jerked around. It sounds to me like your time is being disrespected. It sounds to me like you're experiencing a lot of uncertainty and general unhappiness. I mean, yeah, you're kind of hankering for this guy, but overall, this is not your idea of fulfillment. Fulfillment is fun, enjoyment, mutual support, somebody to hang out with on a Sunday morning, cuddle with, you know, catch brunch, somebody to go see a movie with on a Friday night. Okay, so this brings me to one of the big principles of the Tao of Dating, which is fulfillment is not a person. Fulfillment is a feeling. And what a lot of us do is we latch onto this notion of a person and we think, oh, I have to get this person. And in the meantime, we forget the main show, which is actually feeling good. Fulfillment feelings. Okay, so this guy is not a merchant of fulfillment feelings. And therefore, it doesn't matter what he's thinking. You have no business hanging out with him. Okay, even if he wasn't directly responsible for it, it was just like through bad luck or something, still, he's the agent. So, let it go and move on to the next guy. And that's really the answer to the other question, too, how do I get him back? You don't. You go after something healthy, something fun. You go after the, let me see, 3.5 billion other guys on the planet, of whom I don't know, probably only a couple hundred million are eligible. And you live in New York City. Yeah, it's a pretty small city. It's only got 13 million people in there. So, yeah, there's probably none out there, but I have faith in you. You can go find one. That's not this guy. And I want to bring your attention to the course that this relationship has taken. And, generally, the natural course of relationships isn't from crappy to good. It usually goes from good to like really, really good, and then it plateaus and then maybe deteriorates from there. So, you maybe start at a 70 out of 100, then you go to 80 and a 90, and there's that initial spark. Everybody loves that part of it. And then from there, it might decline later on, right? Starting with decline is not a good harbinger of things to come. So, you probably want to reconsider trying to make something like this work. It's just not the way nature deals with things. But really, what this letter is addressing is something much more fundamental. So all these things that we described, they're symptoms of a much bigger problem, and I believe that that issue is online dating. Okay, so this guy was acquired on Match, and throughout the entire course of the relationship, he's been on Match.com. He pops again at the very end. Hey, how you doing, right? And there are intrinsic structural issues to online dating. Okay, so the big one is what I call the abundance of false choice. You're there, it's like you're on, I don't know, Sephora.com or Amazon.com or Zappos, and you're like, oh, look at all this choice. I can get anything that I want. And that is simply not true. You can't. And there's a lot of effort and time wasted in this thing, but everybody's thinking the same way. So you got this false choice there. You're thinking, ooh, there's all these options that really aren't there. Okay? And let's say these people actually did show up. Let's say these people actually were totally stand-up folks. Let's say you, Jennifer, found five guys who are absolutely perfect. They're amazing guys, okay? And they all want you. And they all say yes. Is that a good situation? And the answer is no, that's absolute hell, because that means you have to pick one out of the four, one out of the five, and you have to tell four of them to go away, and now you're even more miserable than you started. So I highly recommend reading the book The Paradox of Choice by Barry Schwartz. And the main premise of the book is that too much choice actually makes you miserable. The thing that makes you happy is commitment. You find one thing and you run with it. Okay? And I gotta tell you, one guy from another is not a whole lot different. So if they're, good enough, it's all about the relationship that you forge with that guy, the depth you achieve with that one guy. Okay, in a city like New York City, that's going to be tough. And the other problem with online dating is that switching costs are very low. Okay, so if all I have to do is click over to the next page, the next profile, to find somebody else, then this is just going to lead to incredibly poor manners. The same kind of manners that lead to the nasty commenting that you see online. It's the same thing. There's no face-to-face contact. It's not even a person. It's just a profile. It's just a picture. So I can be mean and nasty and get away with it, okay? So all of this leads to a bad ecosystem. It's a whole space in which poor behavior is perpetuated and people actually feel miserable, but it still keeps on going because you keep on getting more profiles in your inbox, you do searches. Wow, oh, this one just might work. Just the next one. No, no, and no. Just cut it off completely, shut down the account, go meet human beings face to face. Evolution did not spend 3 million years making you pretty and sonorous and shapely and graceful so you could just bypass all that and stick a two-dimensional photo with text. Text, where'd that come from? That was no part of evolution. Writing is like the 10th thing you should know about someone, not the first thing. The first thing you know is what they look like face to face, the way they form their facial gestures, the sound of their voice, the way that they speak, their general mien, their general body language, all these different things, they're sending very accurate signals as to the compatibility of that match. And smell. Smell is huge. They say that 90% of all attraction is based on smell because that determines immune complementarity between a couple if they intend to have children down the road, which is, I guess, the entire purpose of courtship. So, that's a problem too. And I can tell you from experience that what's happening with this guy here has a lot to do with the online dating because, yeah, sure, he's into you and he may genuinely be into you. And he is probably genuinely into five other women as well, which is why the response is so spotty. and he doesn't have time for you, and he changes his mind, and he comes back, ooh, that didn't work out, let me go back to the well with that one, okay? Guys do that, you know they do it because girls do it too, and I bet you, you've done it too, okay? And finally, there's another big problem with online dating, what that is which, let's say, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, somebody is a 6.5 or a 7, okay? You know, slightly above average. And what are they doing? They go online, they look at these photos, and they're like, ooh, I like that one. And that one is a 9 or a 10, right? That's what we all want. And that may not be a very good choice, even if it works out. I mean, chances are it's not going to work out because that 9 or 10 is getting a ton of attention from a whole bunch of other people, and he or she can choose from amongst those. And it's probably not going to be the 6.5 or 7, right? And the key thing, though, is that the real fulfillment may be at the level of the other person who's also a 6.5 or 7, and you're entirely bypassing your own happiness by going into this medium. Whereas if you had an introduction from another friend, whereas if you met that person at a dinner party and you talked and you got to know each other, you'd be like, oh, wow, I can see the inner qualities of this person, and suddenly that person becomes a lot more attractive than the profile photo you would have seen online and probably dismissed. Okay, so, Jennifer, getting back to the initial issue, why don't we have you get off of all online dating outlets and go out and meet some people, meet them through friends, and really, let your fulfillment be the guide. How do I feel around this guy? Does associating with him in every way make me grow, make me feel like a better person, and make me have all those fulfillment feelings? And if that is not the case, hey, you have my permission to move on immediately. Thanks for listening. This has been another podcast by Dr. Ali Benazir. Visit the blog at taoofdating.com. That's taoofdating.com. Book for Women is at taoofdating.com/women. And the book for men, taoofdating.com/men. And be sure to sign up for the occasional pop-up Friday Blitz Consulting Sessions. 10 minutes, you and me, we tackle whatever is ailing you. So thanks again, and remember, the power is within you.